Okay, Pshischa on the Parsha. Parsha's Tzav. Parsha's Tzav oftentimes gets a little overlooked because it always happens to be right before Pesach. And you have something that's right before Pesach, so people like to talk about Pesach. But today, we're going to hold ourselves back and not talk explicitly about Pesach, but talk about ideas from the Parsha, which can be applied to Pesach. Hold on, we're getting a visitor here. Hello. Okay. Usha, you want to go to mommy?
Hi, Usha Gedalia.
So, when it comes to the Parsha of Tzav, so we have a lot of karbanos, a lot of procedures about karbanos, really. Last week was more about the karbanos themselves, and this week we have a lot more of the procedural aspects of it. But just for now, let's focus on a couple of procedures, which are mitzvahs also. Two ideas which actually have a lot to do with each other, and then a third one which I think is related. We have first a pasuk that tells us, do you want to go to Ima? Go to Ima. A pasuk that tells us in, trying to make sure, here we go. The pasuk tells us in Perek Vav, pasuk Dalet, which is towards the beginning of the parsha, the mitzvah called Trumas Hadeshen. What is Trumas Hadeshen? Besides being a very popular sefer amongst the Rishonim, it is a procedure of taking out the ashes from the day before. As we know, the karbanos, or at least the leftovers from the karbanos, were burnt on the mizbeach throughout the night. They had to get rid of them. So by the morning time, you had basically a pile of ash. You had a pile of burnt remains, and they had to be disposed of. So one of the first things that they had to do in the beginning of the day was to get rid of them, and it was an actual mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to take out the trash, right? To take out the ashes from the mizbeach, and because it's a mitzvah, therefore it's not considered trash, obviously. But what you find is in pasuk vav, pasuk dalet in parak vav, the pasuk tells us uvasharis begadav, the kohen takes out his normal kohen clothing. V'levash begadim achrim, and he would put on other clothing. V'hotzias hadeshena mechutz machane al makam tahor, he would take out the ashes to a safe place outside of the machane, outside of the camp of the Jewish people, in order so that it can be protected, that it is in a it is a mitzvah, so you have to make sure you're doing it properly. Well, Rashi tells us it's not a chiyuv, but the question is whether or not you get a mitzvah for it. But either way, so in terms of this pasuk, so this pasuk actually has very interesting wording. V'hotzias hadeshen el mechutz hamachne, you take it to the outside of the camp, to a tahor place. So it's interesting that there's a tahor place outside of the camp, because presumably the Beis HaMikdash, or the Mishkan, is where you have tahor places. So you would have to presumably designate a place outside of the camp to be tahor. But when Rav Yaakov Ishbitz comes to this pasuk, Rav Yaakov Ishbitz was a student of Rav Mordechai Yosef Liner, who himself was the colleague of the Kutzker Rebbe. We talked about the Ishbitzer before, the Me'as Shiloach. So his son, Rav Yaakov, tells us the following, that when the pasuk tells us, V'hotzias hadeshen el mechutz hamachne, it's referring specifically to specific kinds of people. He says, "Afilu psaltan shel Yisrael," even the psoles of the Jewish people. What is psoles? Psoles are those who maybe are insignificant, right? Psoles is the chaff, as opposed to the wheat. So he says, even the psoles of the Jewish people, she'ein ba'lechora shum nitzut shel kedusha, which they do not have any outstanding holy qualities to them. Ein shum nitzutz shel kedusha, nitzutz like a spark. They don't even have a spark of holiness. Afilu mishen nimtza michutz lamachane, even someone who is outside of the camp, yesh lo gam kein efsharus shel tikun, he can also be changed for the good. He can also be fixed. Kiratzon Hashem leval yidach mimenu nidach. He doesn't want anyone to get too far away from him. Hashem va'aser lehisyaish miben Yisrael shasar miderach hayishara, and every person cannot give up hope. Can't give up hope on anybody who has strayed from the path of the Torah. Kilo afsa tikva she'od yachzor b'tshuva, because we'll never run out of hope that hopefully they'll come back to do the right thing. V'lachein, gam es hadeshen, even the ashes, even the burnt part of the karbanos, she'ein bo af nitzot shel esh kodesh, even though it has no longer any fire of holiness, even though it doesn't have that kedusha, tzrichim lahavi al makom tahor. You have to still bring that ash. You have to still bring that psoles, that leftover chaff. You have to bring it, even if it's outside of the machane, even if they're not coming to shul, even if they're not in the confines of a Jewish institution, even if they haven't gone to Jewish day school. They are, for all proverbial purposes, chutz l'machane. They are outside of the camp. You still have to bring them el makom tahor. You still have to somehow try to bring them to a holy place, to a pure place. It's not our job to decide who is and who is no longer relevant for our help. We have to try to help them in the ways that we can. And sometimes that help has to manifest itself in ways that doesn't also jeopardize our own well-being. But we should never, chas v'shalom, say that a person is too far afield, is too far away, is too outside of the camp, that they don't deserve a makom tahor. They don't deserve a holy and purified place. So that's one idea which I think is very relevant to Pesach. But let's say, before we bring it into Pesach, let's say a similar idea that we find later on in the Parsha. Parsha tells us in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud. This is more of a general procedural process for how to deal with flour and oil. The mincha, more specifically. So the pasuk tells us in pasuk yud, the Torah says, "V'chol mincha b'lula l'shemen v'achareva," and all mincha offerings which are mixed with oil and chareva. What does chareva mean? I don't actually know the literal translation of that pasuk, of that word. I don't have even a dictionary with me at the moment. Let me go get one. I don't have it over there either. Where'd my dictionary go? It's a bit of a mess over here. Here's a chumash for the translation. We're in Pasuk Yud of Perek Zayin. So how does the Rav Hirsch chumash translate this Pasuk? Rav Hirsch has a lot to say on Vayikra. So he says, and every allegiance offering, okay, a mincha, it's like a peace offering, I guess, I don't know, mixed with oil or dry. Okay, not sure charev means dry, but I'm not sure how that applies here. Maybe it means the flour, which is dry. I'm not sure. So, lo v'shem v'charev v'chol b'nei aharon t'ya ish ka'achiv. To all of the sons of Aaron, one as much as the other. Meaning everything has to be brought to Aaron HaKohen. Doesn't matter what kind of carbon, what kind of mincha it is, all has to be brought to Aaron HaKohen. Rashi tells us there. What does that mean? So the pasuk says, so Rashi tells us, "Belulav Hashem zu minchas nedava." If you have a mincha which is a voluntary mincha, so it's mixed with oil, v'chareva, which means, I guess, a dry mincha, which is only, maybe it's only flour, zu minchas chote u minchas knaos. She'ein behen shemen. Rashi tells us those don't have oil. What kind of karma doesn't have oil? It's the carbon of a sinner. The sinner who brings a minchas chatas, the sinner who brings a flour karban, that has no oil, it only has flour. Not exactly sure what the process is, but that's what it says. But you'll notice that this pasuk uses a phrase which is ripe for a chassidish vart. Why is it ripe for a chassidish vart? Because the language that it uses, the verb that it uses, or the description that it uses to say that both of these karbanos, both a oiled karban and a dry karban, they both come to Aaron HaKohen equally. It uses the phrase ish ka'achiv, a person like his brother. It really means both of them. This one just like the other one. They both come to Aaron HaKohen. So anyone who reads that pasuk should probably assume that Thursday night Rabbi Katz is going to talk about it. because it's just waiting for someone to explain it in a deeper way. And there are many different ways of understanding it. But here, Rav Yitzchak of Arka says the following. Rav Yitzchak of Arka was either a colleague, I believe he was even a student of Rav Simcha Bano Mepshischa. And Rav Yitzchak of Arka says the following. He was a student of Rav Simcha Bano, I remember, because he and the Kutzke Rebbe were friends, even though they're very different. Rav Kutzke Rebbe was very abrasive and in your face and confrontational. And Rav Yitzchak of Arka was very quiet, and it was always like an interesting relationship that I always thought about. But either way, so Rav Yitzchak of Arka says the following. Belulav Hashemen from Rashi, Zumen Chas Nedava, Chareva, a dry offering, a dry, just flour, that's for a sinner. Says Rav Yitzchak of Arka, Bein Hachared L'Dvar Hashem, whether it's a person who fears Hashem, Chared, like a Charedi, right? We're all supposed to be Charedim. Doesn't matter what kind of dress we wear, we should all tremble before God. It says, Bein Hachared L'Dvar Hashem, whether you're someone who trembles before God, Hamevi Minchas Nedava, and therefore you bring a voluntary karban, a voluntary offering, I should say, a voluntary flower offering, Ubein Hachote, or whether you are someone who sins, Minchas Chote, you bring the flower of a sinner, L'chol B'nei Aaron Tihieh Ish Ka'achiv. To all of those people, Aaron has to continue being a person like their brother. Ish ka'achiv. A person like their brother. L'kulam yisyachzu b'nei Aaron b'shaveh. To each one of them, Aaron should look at them and say, I am your brother. L'kulam yiru osahi edidus v'achva. He should show them brotherhood. And this is just a fascinating read of the pasuk, but also the way that Rashi says it. Rashi tells us that these two karbanos mentioned in the pasuk are the two extremes of the types of people that are going to bring a mincha. There's one type of person who's going to bring a mincha who's trying to do as much as he possibly can, who's bringing a mincha completely voluntary. There's nothing telling him he has to bring it. There's nothing forcing him to bring it. There's no one imposing upon him the requirement to bring it. He's completely bringing because he wants to get close to Hashem. His whole life is about getting close to Hashem. That type of person is a Chari L'Dvar Hashem. Of course Aaron HaKohen is going to like that person. Of course Aaron HaKohen is going to be close to that person, wants to learn with that person, wants to teach that person. But not only a person who's blue of Hashem, not only a person who brings the mincha voluntarily, who mixes in the oil, does Aaron have to be a brother to, a friend to. But also Ish Ka'achiv applies just as much to the person who brings chareva, to the person who brings a dry carbon, the person who's a chote, according to Rashi, a sinner. He maybe doesn't do as well as he should. He makes mistakes, he sins, and he still comes to bring a karban, maybe Aaron HaKohen would say, look, you've gone off the path, and I'll get the karban done for you, but you better do better next time. Says the pasuk, no, L'chol b'nei Aaron tia ish ka'achiv. To each person, whether you're a voluntary tzaddik, or whether you are a sinner, Aaron HaKohen has the responsibility to be Ish Ka'achiv. He has to be a brother to them regardless. And this, I think, this fits very well with what we just said from Rav Yaakov of Ishbitz. That Rav Yaakov of Ishbitz said that the person, even if he's Mechutz L'machana, still has a Makom Tahor. And as we know, the Mishnah in Avos tells us about Aaron HaKohen, that he was a Rodef Shalom. He was always seeking peace between people. And what does he say? Oives habrios umekarvan la Torah. You should love the people and then bring them close to Torah. The implication of that Mishnah is that those people are not yet close to Torah. But if you love them enough, then ultimately they'll be mekarv la Torah, they'll come close to the Torah. And that was Aaron HaKohen's whole job, was to be able to relate to every single person like a brother. And to bring it home a little bit to the Seder, we'll say one more idea after this to bring it home to the Seder too. But to bring it home to the Seder for a moment, I always think about this the Seder night as possibly the only opportunity all year that people have a heightened investment to learn Torah. It's interesting, we have Shavuos, which is always fun, you stay up all night, but there's a lot of social aspect to Shavuos. The Seder, however, you got to get through it, right? You have to go through the words, you have to go through the ideas. And people, either because they're with family or they're with friends or they're with community, they always find somehow a way to get involved. You know, there's an opportunity there around the Seder table, no matter how distant a Jewish person would be. There's something even in secular culture that's taken hold that the people think that the Seder is something they have to be involved with. The most secular Jew knows what Passover is. They'll have that fun meal once a year where they get around and they eat this weird food. But somehow in secular culture, it's become a thing. Even if you're the most unaffiliated Jew, you go to a Seder on Pesach night. And I think the Pesach Seder, specifically because of that idea, because of that magnetism, is an opportunity for us to take these lessons to heart. To take the lessons that it's not only about the people that can give the fanciest Dvar Torah at the Seder. It's not only about the people who do mitzvahs every single day. But we also have to be sensitive to those who maybe are a little michutz l'machaneh, that maybe aren't as close to Hashem as they could be. For those people also, you have to make sure that you are accommodating them, that you're giving them the light of day, and that you realize that they have a place at your Seder too. That they also have a makom tahor, they have a place to be brought. And just like Rav Yitzchak Avarka is saying here, tia ish ka'achiv, we don't have to show favoritism to the person that gives the fancy vart, to the person who goes to yeshiva, to the person who maybe has a lot more to say than everybody else. We have to make sure that we're ish ka'achiv, that we show the same kind of brotherly love and affection to anyone, no matter who they are. On the flip side, we have another pasuk in the Torah. On the flip side, we have a phrase here, a very quick phrase from Rav Menachem Mendel of Katz, the Katzke Rebbe. The Katzke Rebbe says on the pasuk in Zion Lamed Zion, later on in this in the same parak, the pasuk tells us, as sort of like a summarizing pasuk, the pasuk says at the end of parak Zion, Zos HaTorah, this is the Torah, these are the laws, literally these are the laws, La'ola la'minchav la'chatas v'la'asham. For the Ola, the Mincha, the Chatas, the Asham, v'lamiluim, u'lezevach hashlamim, and all the other karbanos that we have. These are all the laws, everything we just said. The Katzke Rebbe there then explains, Zos HaTorah, this is the Torah in its general form, not necessarily just the laws of the karbanos, but the Torah in its general form. Zos HaTorah, la'ola, la'mincha, la'chatas, la'asham, says the Katzke Rebbe, this Torah can be brought in different ways. This Torah could be for an Ola and for a Mincha. The Ola being, it can raise a person up. The Mincha being a person who gives gifts. The Mincha being that sign of peace. V'yesh magim b'torasem, and there are also those, unfortunately, can bring Zos HaTorah, they can bring the very same Torah. L'chatas v'la'asham. They can bring that same Torah to a sin, to a mistaken sin, or to a deliberate sin. And says the Katzke Rebbe, that's what's implied in this pasuk. Zos HaTorah, this Torah that we all know and love, it could be brought la'ola la'mincha, it could be brought to do good things, and it could also be brought la'chatas v'la'asham. And, instinctively, I want to talk about those who unfortunately aren't heeding the advice of medical professionals today, and they're abusing the mitzvahs that they know about and endangering other people's lives, but I'm not going to get there because we're trying to keep it positive. What I want to say also connected to the Seder, however, is that sometimes the Seder night, everybody likes to prepare, everybody likes to have ideas that they like to say over. I just want to make a recommendation that before anyone speaks, they try to first listen. Before anyone speaks at the Seder, you want to say a nice Dvar Torah, you want to say your nice idea, you first open it up to everybody else. You first think about what everybody else wants to say. Because oftentimes what I found at other Sedarim is that while one person is talking, another person is looking at their notes. He's reading another Haggadah to see what they can say next time. And it's in some ways that Torah, those ideas that you want to share with other people are becoming, unfortunately, you know, adulterated in that you're not listening to other people's Torah. So what good is it if you have Torah if you're not going to value other people's Torah? And I think in that way it reminded me this pasuk, this idea from the Katzke Rebbe, Zos HaTorah, you might have a really good shtickle. You might have a really good Dvar Torah to say over. But you have to make sure that it's la'ola ulamincha and not l'chata sula asham. You have to make sure that whatever Torah you have to give over to a person, whatever Torah you want to share at your Seder, you have ideas to share. And they're good ideas, they're worthwhile ideas, but make sure that when you give them over, you have to make sure that it doesn't come at the cost of somebody else. It doesn't come to devalue another person. Yeah, David?
God willing, next year we'll be able to implement that advice. This year it would amount to my wife and I staring at each other the whole Seder.
Well,
but God willing, next year we'll have lots of people at all of our Sederim where we can implement that excellent advice.
Amen. But I would add that oftentimes the greatest pitfall of this concept is oftentimes with the people we're closest with, oftentimes with the family members that we think we can get away with more, the family members we're more comfortable with, the family members that we don't feel the need to impress, we don't feel the need to accommodate, and just an encouragement that the fact that we're with family and probably only family for many of us. So that fact should not blur the importance of this idea, because we shouldn't get too comfortable to think, oh, I can just ignore what he says or what she says or what my kids say. I always ignore them. You know, I always disregard what they're telling me. So for the Seder, when it comes to Torah, Zos HaTorah, we have to know that the Torah that we have to share could be La'ola L'mincha U'lachatas L'asham. So just a point about that, because number one, as we said before, the Seder night is an opportunity to get other people involved. Even the people that are Mechutz L'machana can be brought to the Makam Tahor. They can be brought to places that they feel important, that they feel that they have a contribution and something to add in the Seder night, in the Torah, in whatever idea it is. But also number two, on the flip side, if you do have something to share, make sure it doesn't come at the expense of somebody else, that you're thinking about or you're ignoring somebody else because you want to say something over. That's just something to keep in mind, that it's a night of sharing ideas, it's a night of sharing the moment, even with just a close-knit family like it might be this year. But specifically then, we have to have that added sensitivity to listen to others, to make sure other people are feeling welcome, and despite the fact that everybody wants to give over Torah, we also have to know that there are four sons at the table, not just one. So Mirza Hashem, we can take that all to heart. Make sure that we include everybody, whoever it is at our Seder, no matter how far they are in the Machaneh or outside of the Machaneh, and no matter how much we have to say, we have to make sure it is La'ola Ulamincha and not L'chata Sul Asham. Mirza Hashem, on Tuesday afternoon, in place of the women's Parsha class, we will be sharing some Pesach Seder ideas. You can come to hear a bit of a Pesach potpourri of some of those ideas that maybe you might want to share. Just a bunch of random things that I've come up with over the years, or that I've read over the years that I find particularly meaningful. And if anyone else has something meaningful to share, please, 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 a few people on this call have already shared with me, but I would love to hear from everybody else what ideas they have to share for the Seder, what ideas that I maybe not have heard before. I always like new things. So please, if you have an idea, something you've always wanted to say, or you're reading something and you found something to say, please send it my way one way or another. Make sure I have it so I can put it in this year's Young Israel of Oak Park Seder Companion. Because even though, as David said, we won't be able to share around the table in a physical sense, at least in a spiritual sense, we can share by giving over our ideas from before Pesach so that people can read them at their own seders in their own homes. So I wish everyone a Chag Kasher V'Sameach, and Amir Tashem. I will see you tomorrow at 6:30 for Mincha and 6:40 for Kabbalah Shabbos. I think that's the timing. We'll see you on Zoom. And Amir Tashem, we'll have another nice Shabbos for this week.
Thank you.